हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so page 92. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Thus deeply considering the situation, the all-merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, revealed to the cowherd men his abode, which is beyond material darkness. Footnote 37. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verses 13 and 14 to two chapters in Bhagavad Arkamrichimala, the Ampira chapter 4 entitled The Factual Truth of Krishna, Bhagavat Surupa Tattvam, which is in the Sabandha section, as well as in chapter 19 entitled The Perfection of the Mellow or Pure Love, the Unlimited Dimensions of Rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. So, one is that is revealing his position. And that, you know, it means, in other words, the actual truth of Krishna. So he's doing that. But at the same time, why is that happening? Because of his affection for the Brajavasis. And that exchange then between the two of them, then that's what will be happening. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Thinking, I will show the superiority of Vrindavan by giving them realization of Brahman and Vaikuntha. He showed them Brahman, Svam, and Vaikuntha, Lokam, separating the cowherd men from Vrindavan for a few moments. He showed them Brahman and Vaikuntha. He did this because he was most merciful. That is, he wanted to show them that the sweetness of Vrindavan was superior to Brahman and Vaikuntha. And so, by showing them this, because they had ideas about this before, but when they see that the sweetness of Vrindavan is greater than that of Brahman or Vaikuntha, or the majesty of him being the Lord, then it doesn't matter what his position is and what he does, because the sweetness of a relationship with him is so much greater than that of him being the Supreme Lord or the mystical aspects or that. Those aren't the important part. The important part is the affection that Krishna has between them. And he may use his to some degree, his mystical potencies. But it's all being done just to please them. Right? So it doesn't actually change the relationship at all. Okay. Sukadeva Goswami continued.
But does it enhance the relationship?
But if you see one thing's better than another, isn't that...
Because it's Aishvarya, so...
Yeah, but it's not better.
No.
Yeah, so therefore then they understand it's... The considerations or the worrying about if he's the supreme or not or what is his position actually doesn't give as much taste as just the relationships that he has with them. Because the point is this, whether he's God or not, it's the interaction of him between his devotees in that affection that's actually the attractive element. You understand? So Aishwarya, therefore, doesn't have any position. Does that make sense?
Yes. The doubt, not the doubt, but previously, I remember when Krishna was preaching Kama Nimams, the whole thing was not to reveal his position of Aishwarya.
Yes, but at that point, but now the love has developed to the point where it can be and it doesn't matter.
Develops.
No, but the point is it has to go, because everybody's Gokul pastimes means everybody's coming up. Means the eternal associates know, but they play like they're coming up. But everybody else, because they're giving that association, they're coming into the pastime, so they're trying to learn how to deal on that particular mood.
So we have two positions. Before we try to come up to a certain level and establish our relationship with Krishna, you know, whatever it is. And then it seems like that is never changing. Once it's established, it's not going to change, you know, like a sky bomb.
Yeah.
And then we can enhance that relationship, but within that particular bomb.
Yes.
We're not going outside of that.
No.
Because then when person completely happy in his own relationship, he's not going to change, but within he can expand.
Yes, it means coming up to the platform of prema, then that establishes firmly the stai bhav, because that's the point is stai bhav means that particular attraction of the rati that you have.
Yeah.
You know, so then in this case, then it's the vatsalya rati, right, because it's the elder cowherd men and all that, Nandabhava. So that vatsalya rati, that will be there. But you can increase that from prema, then up through all the levels. I think the parental rasa can get to anubhava. Right. You know, I mean, so you have sneha, then pranaya, then they don't do man, but then rag, and then I think anubhava, whatever it is. Yeah, anuraga. And then I think anubhava, and then mahabhava. Mahabhava generally it's exclusive pretty much to the conjugal rasa. But that's only the conjugal rasa in Vrindavan. Parakriya can only get to mahabhava. In Dwarka, it only gets up to that anubhava or anuraga, whichever is the one just below mahabhava. So each one has a levels that all these it can be tasted. So each one's more intense, but they're moving around, whichever at the moment is the one being tasted. And that combination of them are there, but they point them out to bring out the different aspects of the affection that's being tasted. So that's what can develop. Because in Vaikuntha, then you can have love for Krishna and appreciate the Aishwarya, but you can't appreciate the sweetness. Not on this level. It's the aspect of the Aishwarya has a sweet aspect. You know, it's just like if you if one appreciates shukta or bitter vegetables, if it's cooked actually nicely, it's sweet, but it's bitter. In a sense, it's just so nicely done, it has that sweet aspect you can appreciate. It doesn't have that bitter aspect, but at the same time as you're appreciating that sweetness within the bitter. Does that make sense? So it's not that they're appreciating sweetness, but it's not in the context of sweetness. So by revealing these things to the Brajabasis, then they're able to appreciate how the sweetness, the realization they have is so much greater than Brahman or Vaikuntha. So in this case, when we say these three levels, the feature of Paramatma, that's Vaikuntha. There he's external, he's the Supreme Lord. But the point, Paramatma is taking the mood of he's the Supreme Lord. So then that's in Vaikuntha. So when he's the Supreme Lord in the Bhagavan state, then that is Vaikuntha. When it's the Supreme Lord in the localized state, that's Paramatma. Does that make sense? So that's why you only have to say Brahman, Vaikuntha, and then sweetness or Vrindavan.
The Vaikuntha Vasis, how far do they go in the level of prema, like prema, sneha, prema?
I know if they just do prema.
That's it.
I don't think they go beyond that. Maybe they get the sneha, but that's it. But it'll be individuals. It's the general category, it's just prema. But other individuals might go farther. But the point is because the Aishwarya, it can only go a certain direction. I mean, you don't have that sense of possessiveness and other things that these higher levels have. That's what we're talking about. It just the fullness and intensity is so much greater. Does that make sense? Because we have to understand is that the greatness of God is just who He is. You know, it's just like it's a common theme in literature about the person is very, very wealthy or powerful. But his anxiety is: does anybody like him as a person, or do they only like him because of his position? Right? So now he has plenty of dealing with those who like him because of his position at his workplace, the social life, and all that. But who he's going to personally spend time with, they have to like him because he's a person. So it doesn't matter if he has facility or not. You understand? So we have to understand is that Aishvarya has its position in relationship to the more grander scheme. But when it comes to close dealings or intimate dealings, then it's not important. Does that make sense? That's the thing. We have to be able to appreciate that to be able to move on. Otherwise, if we're attached to the idea of it, we appreciate the sweetness, we appreciate, but we think that the Aishvarya has an importance, then that's dwarka. That's dwarka. If it's a little bit more sweetness added in than dwarka, that's mathura. So we have to understand is that we have to be a little careful there. Yes.
What was the question? I didn't get the concept.
Do the Vaikunthavasis go past
the level of prema?
Of prema means if you're looking at the eighth stages of prema, then they just the second one prema. But I know if that's the basic place, though they might get. I don't think that they can go beyond. But even if they do, it'll only be one or two, because it has to be much more intimate to be able to go into mon, like that. So that they can't deal with, because he's the Lord. How can you be disturbed with him? Right? So that aspect of tasting the relationship and that's not there. So that will be there, though, in the conjugal. They can have it where it's the mix of the two. But with Lakshmiji, you only see her in that nice mood. That's why we see that Srivas Thakur was so surprised when Lakshmiji had come out of the temple and came to Gupta Vrindavan and then made a whole scene there. And then when she went back, then she locked the temple and wouldn't let him in. Because in Vaikuntha, you never see this. Right? But in Dwarka, you have that mix. It can be there because they can go up to the level just below Mahabhav. So then it may be there, though it's rare. You know, it seems to be so rare he hasn't seen it. So it just has to be appreciated. The different flavors have different spicings you can put with it. You know what I'm saying? So it's just that's the whole point of the taste. So the rasa is what goes with what. You know what I'm saying? You know, if you're doing art, then what things you can do, what colors you can put, and you know, textures you can use, and does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the kind of thing like that. Let's say if we're doing, let's say, a brick wall or a tree, then if we're doing oil paints, we can put lots of texture in it. But if it's somebody's face, we don't do that. You know, so it's just what matches with what. So that's the whole science, is that up to this point, we've basically been focusing on the science of this Sambandhi Gyan and Abhideya, but Prayojana hasn't been discussed. We know that it's there, but in detail that hasn't been discussed. So now we're starting to see the variations here in the, you know, the, how you say, unlimited dimensions, right, of rasa. Because we're used to just, okay, there's prema and that's it, but there's all these aspects within it because it's of the personal. We're used to the personal just being us, so if you bring this up earlier, then much of the time we'll get distracted by our own absorption. But when you get to hear the Brajbasis, then one can appreciate that level. Because up to this, generally we see is that, though it's mentioned here and there, the specifics of all the pastimes before that are always connected with Aishwarya. They're all basically up to the through the whole. It means you see a little bit here and there, but the main pastimes are all of Aishwarya. Right? Different levels, different aspects, because that's something standard. You can relate to that because of the rules. But in prema, you can say what the science is, but it moves according to its own will. Right? So it moves in. You can say if this is there, then these other qualities will be there, and this and that. But what's going to be manifest, that's between Krishna and his Lila Shakti. You know, so what's pleasing to him, then that's what's happening at the time. So the Lila Shakti arranged this, because that's his interest is to do this. Because by showing them this, then there's nothing more to be worried about. There's no other distraction. It's only Krishna after this. So,
Lakshmiji's position must be higher than the position of prema of Lakshmiji must be higher than that of the general devotee. Because general devotee is prema, sneha,
devotee. Lakshmi's position must be higher. But the point is do you ever see it?
No, she never exhibits him.
Yes, so therefore, what does it matter? Mm-hmm. It's a conjugal rasa, so we know, therefore, it has that higher position. But is that important? Mm-hmm. Is there any details? It means she's sitting with Narayan, right? Mm-hmm. And that we know that all the service goes to him through her. And her connection to her is through then the other major servants, like Garuda, Hanuman, Vishrakshena, mm-hmm. right? Narada, like this. So, but details of that, then that's not there. So it doesn't actually matter. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Sukadev Goswami continued. Lord Krishna revealed the indestructible spiritual effulgence, which is unlimited, conscious, and eternal. Sages see the spiritual existence in trance when their consciousness is freed of the modes of material nature. Footnote 38. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur recites verse 15 to Bhagavat Arkamichimala, chapter 4, entitled The Factual Truth of Krishna, Bhagavat Sarup Tatvam, which is in the Sambandha section of the Thakur's book. Right? Because Brahman is one of the features of Krishna. It's how he pervades everything like that. That's one of the features. Then, how he deals on a localized position, then that's his Paramatma. So here then, he's revealed this aspect. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Satyam means all-pervading. Jnanam means non-material. Anantam means without limit. Sanatanam means nitya siddha. This is the place the jnanis who transcend the gunas see in samadhi. Though the Vrindavan seen by the people situated to earth also has the same nature as it is Brahmananda Sarup, its extreme sweetness only is revealed, not its Aishwarya aspect, because the covering Maya, while being situated within the material world. Maya is like a clay vessel hiding the light of a lamp, Brahma Jyoti, within it. Thus Krishna showed the Brahma Jyoti, which is beyond the material world, not that manifested within this earth planet. Right? So he's not showing the aspects here and how everything is, how he's pervading everything here. He just showed the Brahma Jyoti itself, which is the goal of what these jnanis are trying to obtain. Right? So the position of being on the Brahman platform, all of Vaikuntha is in that position, because that's just existence. So in other words, showing just the existence aspect to the Brajabasis, then you're revealing the Brahman platform. Because everything is on that, but he's not revealing this Brahman platform as is manifest in the material world. Because here it's all Brahman, because that's what it is, but like it says, like it's a covered pot. A pot, how it covers the brightness. So therefore, it has that darkness aspect, but it's still Brahman. Does that make sense? So existence is Brahman. Does it make sense?
They ask for Vaikuntha to see it.
But he's revealing that also. What, you know, he's showing all the three features so you don't get distracted. Right? Does that make sense? In other words, somebody, let's say, wants something, but if you give him that along with some other nice things, is it a problem?
No.
Yeah. It means, let's say, you're going to a nice restaurant, but you also go for a nice scenic drive also. Is that a problem? Mm-hmm. Do we complain that I only ask for the restaurant? What's this scenic drive? You understand? So it's just that he's just showing the completeness of himself.
And another thing, that the difference that you mentioned between Brahma Jyoti here and there,
right?
Which darkness?
Here means everything has that darkness.
Even Brahma Jyoti that the Mayavadis get?
No, that's what's outside. That's what he showed them. When they go outside, he's not showing what's here. How Brahman is pervading everything, whatever you're doing is doing. That aspect he's not showing them. He's only showing them then that Brahman effulgence, that aspect.
If we previously was said that Mayavadis, they never cross the coverings of the universe.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They merge into Brahma Jyoti, which is in the universe. Outside.
No, it's in the Mahatattva. It's outside the universe. Within the universe, then the...
You mentioned Mahakalapura. Right?
Mahakalapura is outside the universe. See, as you have... Okay, let's reverse a little bit here. You have Mahavishnu, right? Mahavishnu, then he breathes out, so many unlimited universes are there, right? Now, in that whole process, that he glances on material nature, then Pradhan, then turns into Avyakta, then it's not able to function... You can't make anything with it, so the devatas come to Krishna. Then he enters into the Avyakta. Then it's able to transfer into Mahatattva, which is then has all the blueprint of all the 8,400,000 species of life, all the 14 planetary systems, all the situations that you can have within the material world, like, you know, the oceans, the sky, the land, the mountains, the valleys, the plains, the, you know, the coastal, you know, whatever are the different ways that we would divide up the experiences and situations within the material world. So all that is there, how the 24 elements are there, how their natures are, everything like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. In that place, that's where Mahakalapura is, right? Because remember, Gopal Kumar saw Mahakalapura when he went outside of the last covering of the universe, which is Pradhan. When he left that, then he came out into that bright effulgence. So Mahakalapura is what's out there with Mahavishnu, not what's in here. What's Hiranyagarbha, the universal form, is what's here within the material world. So how Krishna is operating that primary creation within the universe, that's Hiranyagarbha. But when it's outside the universe, then that's your Mahakalapura. So that's where, and he could see that that Mahakalapura was full of all these living entities in their form, you know, doing their yogic meditation, but they think they've merged in it. But they haven't. He could see their individual forms. And in that place, that's where Lord Shiva is then performing his pastimes, moving around with his associates, worshipping Shankarshan, and performing kirtan. Right? So then higher than that aspect, then is Shiva's place. But higher than that is Vaikuntha. See, because Mahavishnu, he's Vaikuntha. But that's only him, that's not as Paramatma of the cosmos. I mean, of the, how you say, the Mahatattva. Right? But as an individual, then he's there with, you know, his whole pastimes and everything like that. Same with Kiradakshaya Vishnu and Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Mm-hmm. But in dealing with him, what we're talking about, the creation, we're looking at him as Paramatma. Right? Does that make sense? So, then that's how we situate the different things. Then beyond the Mahatattva, you also have the Brahma Jyoti. Mm-hmm. But that's not the Brahma Jyoti these guys get to. And even if they did get there, then, as it mentions, there's the guards at Vaikuntha, you know, like that. There's plenty of them, like that. There's eight guards, you know, so eight times and seven gates. So that's 56 guards to make sure nobody gets in that shouldn't. And around Goloka, then they have 10 tridents that anybody gets close, then they'll take care of them. So the idea is they shouldn't be going beyond that. Okay? So they stay within the Mahatattva. So, but it's manifest there. That's the Brahma Jyoti. In general, we just say that there's Vaikuntha, there's the Brahma Jyoti, and then there's the Mahatattva. But these impersonalists, they don't get beyond the Brahman aspect within the Mahatattva, but they're outside of the Brahmananda, right? Outside of the individual universe, right? Okay, because that's controlled by the modes. Here, they're not controlled by the modes. Everybody in that state is all in Vasudeva Sattva. So, between when Mahavishnu breathes out and all this is created, and Brahma does the creation, then all the souls that are within the Mahatattva are in Vasudeva Sattva. So they can see their position as soul, in their transcendental position. But, because they still maintain the concept, I'm the controller and enjoyer, then that's not so important to them. They're just enjoying the Brahmananda. Right? And then when Brahma creates, then they all go to their places within the universes and take on their particular bodies, and then they start the continuation of their material existence. Yes.
One would say that the jivas, they come to this state of
Vasudeva Sattva?
Yeah, that's the Mahatattva in the material universe. And what we said, not the material, but the one that before Mahavishnu, the one that Hiranyagarbha is in.
Hiranyagarbha is within the individual universe. The Lord expands the universes, then he enters, so he expands them as Mahavishnu, then he enters into each universe as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Right? So that's where then that whole universal form that was created by Mahavishnu, then that is then taken into each individual universe by Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And that's what's within the lotus. That's Virag. Right, so then Brahma is born from Virag, which is half man, half woman, right? Because the universal forms means this masculine feminine principle. Does that make sense? No.
I just don't understand where is the Brahma Buddha state is. It should be between.
Brahma Bhuta.
Yeah, this is the state between the material and spiritual.
Yeah,
so
but
technically
that would be this place, anywhere within this. You may be Brahma Bhuta whilst you're here on the earthly planet. You may have, gone up to Brahma Loka, be in that thing. You may have gone into Mahakala Pura, then you're merged within Mahavishnu. So all these, then they're within that position. But then, because they haven't gotten rid of the, Linga Sharir, Karana Sharir, then when the next creation is there, they all come back and go to their places. Like that. So the Mayavadis might, or Brahmavadis might be in Brahman for a while, or, like that, or come as great sages. But the point is they just continue within this cycle.
Maharaj, you studied that when prema develops, then jnana has been destroyed. When prema develops, knowledge or jnana has been destroyed. I mean, destroyed in the sense...
What's been destroyed?
Jnana.
No, jnana. When you come to the platform of bhava, then jnana is not functioning anymore.
No. Yeah, jnana. So, at the platform of prema, jnana is not functioning. We gave the example of the wood and it burns.
Yes, but that was for when you come to the Brahma-Bhuta platform, which is therefore, for as sadhakas, that's bhava. That's the point, is liberation isn't that great of a stage. Means every resident of Vrindavan in Gokul is liberated. Right? So that's not then you develop through to prema. So even if you're on just Shravana Dasa in Bhav Sadhana, you're still liberated. Brahma Bhuta means you're liberated, but you understand the positive aspect of devotional service. Mukti means you're liberated, but you don't understand devotional service, so you'll only go up to that Brahman level, and then you will fall back down from there. So by chanting the name offenselessly, you will get liberation. But by chanting the name purely, that will give you prema. So that's why the trying to understand or trying to appreciate liberation is not actually very important to the devotees. Because it's a side thing, you get it along with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the whole point, you see. You know, you order a meal, it comes on a plate. You know what I'm saying? Are you making a whole scene that you make sure that telling the waiter, make sure I get a plate and all that? No, it's just automatic. You don't even worry about it. No one thinks about it. So that's the whole thing, is that prema means then, now there's, it is the pure natural state of the living entity in their natural position to have love for Krishna has been attained. From that position, they will not come down. But from bhava, you could fall, because it's only a bud. It hasn't fructified.
Yeah.
So
Maharaj, the residents of Braja, you know, they are already in the platform of prema, but still, you know, they develop this desire of getting the knowledge of Vaikuntha, Brahman, Paramatma that Krishna is giving.
Okay.
Why is it that they're coming one step and two steps down?
But why is it we're saying they're steps down? See, we're taking it, these positions are us, how we go up. The others, they're already included, but it's not something that is important with their relation to Krishna. So Krishna's just revealing those aspects. It's not a stage down. Otherwise, then what's going to happen is when we get into the next chapters with the gopis, then if it's not happening at Mahabhavat, if it's happening at Man, or it's happening at Sneha, then we'll say, well, why are they dropping down? Why are they coming down from that elevate? Once you understand? Because we work on this ascending principle. And so therefore, whatever's at the top, we say that that's it, and once you get there, it's not this. But no, they're already on a position. From there, they can move. The Shastra is the top thing. From there, it comes down all the way down to the finest little detail of ordinary knowledge. Right? Does that make sense? Like how the legs of the ant mechanically work, that's all by Krishna's potency. You know what I'm saying? But we find that within the topmost thing. So they have that, and these are all the flavors that within it. You know, it's just like in a meal. You know, you have sweets, so they're, you know. So does that mean that that's it? That's all you eat? So then if that's the case, then the kids, the Paramahamsas, and the adults, they fall into a lower platform? Or you understand? Is that because the one enhances the other? Does that make sense? Okay. So saying that the Brahmananda Sarup is there, just Brahmananda. Vrindavan is also in that same platform of Brahmananda Sarup, but it's not just the Brahmananda, it has the sweetness. Because the Brahmananda is just the position of being liberated. While then Vrindavan is having love for Krishna in the position of being liberated. Does that make sense? That's the whole thing. You know, it's just like, let us say, we take a tour of the Buckingham Palace. Okay? You know, you can walk around, you can see a lot of things, amazing stuff, but if you'll notice, there's those little, little stainless steel poles with these little, you know, chains with velvet on it going between them and stuff, and you can't get too near anything, you can't touch, you can't live there. Right? But the queen and her family, they live there. They can do whatever they want there. So we may be able to go in and appreciate, but we can't function there. Right? So just the existence of the grandeur or the greatness of the unlimited aspect of Vaikuntha, of Brahman, that is already there in Vrindavan. But the impersonalists, they can only deal with the unlimited aspect, while the Brajabasis can deal with the sweetness and the interaction and all that.
Yeah. So because it is all about the sweetness, hence it is called as Brahmananda Swarupa?
No, Brahmananda, as it is Brahmananda Swarupa, the Brahmananda Swarup just means the eternal principle. You have Sat, you have Chit, and you have Ananda.
Okay.
Right? So if we're just dealing with Sat only on its eternal point of view, that's Brahman. Mm-hmm. If we're seeing it with its opulence, then it's Vaikuntha. If we're seeing it with its sweetness, then that's Braj.
Mm-hmm.
It's a situation. Just like we're sitting here in this room, we're sitting on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if there was no floor here, could we have a class?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have a floor, we can have a class, we can do so many other things here. But it's all because it's situated on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
But is the floor the important thing, or is what goes on the floor important? So Vrindavan and Vaikuntha are about what happened on the floor,
mm-hmm.
and Brahman is simply about the floor. They're absorbed in the floor. They merge in the floor. I am the floor. You know. Floor Ananda. You know, you understand? So that's what they're doing. It's simply the existence. See, by unlimited lifetimes, we've been convinced by the impersonalists, you know, especially the Mayavadis, that there is actually a validity and importance to the Brahman platform as a goal. You know, that's like saying the kitchen. Okay, the cook has attained the kitchen. Now, is that perfection? The chef is standing in the empty kitchen. So is that perfection? That's all everybody wants? No. He'll do things in the kitchen. So the point is, you cook in a kitchen. The kitchen is the situation. So Brahman is the situation of the whole cosmos. It's existence. So existence means Brahman. That we are individual living entities. So we have a body. It moves around. There's different... That's Brahman. Now, what kind of Brahman? Then there's the material Brahman, there's the spiritual, right? There's the Jiva Brahman, internal potency Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Brahman. So it's all the variety within Brahman, because we have this idea as Brahman is this thing with no variety. That's an illusion. It doesn't exist. It has all these qualities within it. And then on that, then is based all these other manifestations. Right? Because if we're saying Krishna expands his energy and you have internal, external, and jiva, they're Shakti. So where do they situate themselves? Where are they existing? Can they exist separate from Krishna?
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they have to be existing on Krishna. Right? And you want this floor to be Krishna as the son of Mother Yashoda?
Mm-hmm.
No. So therefore, he does the floor as Brahman. Does that make sense? Yeah, like that. That way he pervades everything. Everything has its existence. So all the energies are sitting on Brahman. Then they perform their interactions with Krishna. So the external energy does its thing. The internal does the spiritual world. And the jivas, they can choose. Okay? Good? Okay. The form of Brahman, Bhagavan, however, is much more sweet than the Brahma Swarup. This is confirmed by the realization of Atmaramas such as Srila Sukadeva Goswami. Though the form of Bhagavan is also all-pervading, it appeared limited in a form of medium size. Though free from the six transformations, it seems to undergo birth, maturity, and decline. Though free from the faults of disturbance, etc., he seems to undergo hunger and thirst, sweat, fear, illusion, and receive blows in battle. This is because he has unlimited, inconceivable energies. Similarly, Vrindavan, like the body of the Lord, which spreads itself through millions of universes, as seen by Brahma, is also limited. Right? So it takes on that limited form. That form is unlimited, not that the unlimited has a form. You understand? The point is he as a person is the origin. And that he is unlimited. But the point is he interacts in a limited form, according to us.
Yes.
So the form is the highest, not the unlimited. The Lord says, this Vrindavan spread over five yojanas is like my body. And though devoid of material disturbance, according to the scriptures and such statements as one should remember the moving and non-moving entities of Vrindavan, which is free from the six disturbances, it is the astonishing shelter of men, animals, birds, and trees which have hunger, thirst, birth, old age, want, and disillusion. So it doesn't have any of these things, but it's the shelter of those who do have this. That's the point. That's the uniqueness of Krishna. That's why then the verses are put in the factual truth of Krishna, how Krishna is doing all this. But those aspects of Krishna aren't the attractive features. The sweetness of Vrindavan, that's the attractive feature. These other things aren't actually attractive. Right? From here we think it's attractive, but actually it's not. Sukadeva Goswami continued. So through Krishna's unlimited inconceivable energies, you have these seeming contradictions. You know, he has no faults and anything like that, but when they shoot him on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, then you see the arrows there, there might be bleeding, you know, all these different things. But he's doing that just because it pleases him. It's not like us, who we get shot with an arrow, then guaranteed there's going to be blood. Right? So, yeah. Yes. Sukadeva Goswami continued. The cowherd men were brought by Lord Krishna to the Brahmahrada, made to submerge in the water and then lifted up. From the same vantage point that Akura saw the spiritual world, the cowherd men saw the planet of the absolute truth. So they went to the same place and then taking the bath. Now they're seeing Vaikuntha. Yes.
So Gokul is at that place that it's beyond the modes of material nature.
Yes.
But still conditioning applies.
Yes. Means that it's where you can say Gokul is the place where you'll see the fullest extent of the Tathasta Shakti functioning. Means in the material world, then all the living entities are there, so you have this tiny living entity and this big monster body and this everything around you is dead matter, but the Tathasta Shakti is holding these two together.
Yeah.
Right? But here you see is you have all these people with spiritual forms, that doing all their activities, they're not dealing in any way with the modes of nature. Right. It's completely the spiritual realm. But at the same time you can have people there in their material bodies having their material reactions like they do. Right? That's Lord Krishna's Tathasta Shakti. That's where the bewilderment comes up, and how can the living entity fall from the spiritual world? Because they don't consider the Tathasta Shakti, which is the category that they who are bewildered come from. Right? You know, how do you consider the position of the Tathasta if you don't consider what is Tathasta? So they're taking it, how can you fall from the spiritual world? But they're Tathasta. They're an energy. That's what Tathasta is. So therefore you can have demons in a material body under the modes of nature right there in the pastime with Krishna and his associates that are in spiritual forms and are beyond the material modes. That's the Tathasta Shakti. It just holds them together. That's all it does. Now, what will happen, that's the Leela Shakti. The Leela, then, well, Shakti will then make all the different pastimes and all these different things like that. So you have all these unlimited energies happening at once. So we study them individually so that we start to get an idea of what they are. But, yes, you get that around me. Does that make sense? So that's why it's bewildering, and that's why when we say spiritual world, we only think what is beyond the Mahatattva. But the point is, spiritual world is wherever the Lord performs his pastime. So Gokul is the spiritual world. It's non-different. So those from Goloka, they don't see a difference like that. Shastras define them as non-different. We tend to see the difference because we leave out the point of the how the tatastha shakti functions.
So spiritual and material, it's not about location, it's a matter of consciousness.
Yes, that's the whole point. Because the Vrajabhasis are in the transcendental consciousness, therefore they're situated in the spiritual world. While the husbands, the yagyic Brahmins, they're in the material world. This is where it gets fun. Because it's all going on at once. So it's that's why Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva can explain this so nicely. The others can explain, but they don't, it's not, it'll be more this or that, and that makes it more clear, right? So up to this point, we've, generally been seeing one thing at a time, and it makes it easy for us. But now we're seeing many things at a time, the variety of what's happening. And so now then we're starting to get bewildered, right? But doesn't it work like this, or doesn't it work like that? No, that's how that one thing works, but then they all work together. It's like an orchestra. You know each instrument and how it functions, but then they all work together and they all play their part. And so you understand then, okay, percussion does this, and wind things do that, and other string things do this, and voices do that, but then you blend it all together, and that's then the musical performance. So we study that analytically one by one, so that we know actually what is a percussion instrument. Right? What is a string? What is all these things? What they can do? What all the aspects? So that we can identify when it brings out the aspect of then when they're combined. So that makes sense. Like we'll look at karma yoga. That makes sense. Jnana yoga. That makes sense. Jnana yoga. That makes sense. But buddhi yoga. That's then where we get confused. He's doing an activity, so it must be karma yoga. But what's the consciousness there? It's about the detachment while he's doing it. So that means it's the jnana aspect of it. But the body is doing the karma aspect. But what's his mind doing? That's the jnana aspect. So the body does the karma, right? That the intelligence does the jnana, and the mind does the jnana. So body, mind, words are engaged in the Lord's service. That's buddhi yoga. So in the same way, here in the pastimes, all these things are going on at once. Krishna is above all these things, but for fun, he plays human pastimes. That means he gets hungry, it's hot, he sweats. Because otherwise, if he didn't sweat, what's the specialness about the clouds coming and covering? He's in a specific spot, so the cloud comes. The day stays nice, but a cloud will come just enough to cover just where Krishna is and his friends so that they don't get hot. And everything else is nice and bright. Now, that's nice. The sky is clear, but the clouds just so that you don't get any sun when it's hot. And then when you go into the trees, then it can move, and then you just get the full, sun. So that's why they're there. Or they come, they bring them food, they share food, they drink water. So that's the whole point. The human pastimes are where the fun is. But if you use these human pastimes for yourself, then it's less fun.
The difficulty in understanding Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva is that mind can deal with one thing at a time.
Yes.
So all this, it's very confusing.
So that's
mind.
Yes, that's why it says through one's own mental speculation, one cannot understand Krishna. It has to be revealed. So when Krishna reveals it, then you can see all these things at once. So that's the whole point, is we're thinking, how can the Vrajabhasis do this and that? Because that's the way we are. But they can do both at once. They can see Krishna as that. It's just like the mother, can't she appreciate that her son is the prime minister? Yeah, but does it affect her relationship with her kid as she's serving him breakfast and complaining about he's working too hard? Not at all. Right? You understand? So it's just, it doesn't, you can see both and it doesn't affect. Why? Because the affection's greater. Right? So someone who, let's say, is a neighbor and kind of knows you and would sometimes come and hang out at the fence and talk about your garden or like that, or something or what kind of lawnmower you're using and all this, then, you know, he knows them and is friendly and all that, but as soon as he finds out he's the prime minister, then he switches into that awe and reverence mode.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the difference. But you see, is the intimate family members, it doesn't matter. Right? He's the prime minister, but still his bigger brother will wrestle him to the ground and sit on top of him. It doesn't matter. And that'll be the fun. See? He's the prime minister and I'm sitting on top of him. Now who's the big one here? Right? So that'll be the fun. They'll joke like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it won't change. So that's the whole thing is that we're seeing here is that when it's all happening at once, that's it. So it's just a matter of getting used to that. So that's why we expose ourselves to it, and then gradually we start to get that faith, and then Krishna reveals. So as we have that faith in it, if we doubt it, then it'll be slower to come. If we have faith in it, but don't understand it, then Krishna can reveal. But that's why it's said that the jnanis and the yogis and that, the karmis, they can never understand bhakti. Because it's beyond what the mind can do. Like you said, the mind can only do one thing at a time. And we see when we're dealing with rasa that so many things are happening at once and all that. So the modes of nature make that work here. Right? So you have the individual things because the mind notices one thing, then another thing. So the sanchayabhavas as they move, you notice them as they move. And you interact with them as they move. But the point is all that can go on with just that affection for Krishna. So it's unaffected by the...
Can you please explain regarding... you mentioned that the Tatastha Shakti, it executes to the max in Gokul, where Krishna performs his pastimes in different Brahmandas. So then, it is from that particular position that a Jiva may fall down, but in Golok it is not possible. Tatastha Shakti doesn't function in Golok.
No, Tatastha Shakti exists there, because all the Shakti, see, it means that the Tatastha Shakti is, all the Shaktis are everywhere, but it's just where they're manifest. Okay. Right? Means everything works here. That okay, we're sitting on the floor and the floor holds us up. Right? So the floorness is Krishna. That's the Brahman aspect. Now, so that's him, right? But the floorness that you can have the ways that you can have a floor, that's his internal potency. Right? And so between that, the floorhead and the floorness, then that masculine feminine principle is complete. On that Brahman platform. Then that is therefore reflected into the material world, then where you have the cause and effect here. So now we have a mud floor and like that. Does that make sense? So even here it's all working because of that. That's why one can be here and see everything connected to Krishna. One's technically not in the material world. One's located in the material world, but one isn't in the material world. While the husbands of the yogic Brahmins, they're situated in the spiritual world, but they're actually located in the material world. Because their consciousness is here. So even though, and the demons, Aristasura comes in, he's in the material world. He sees Krishna's material. He sees the associates as material. Right? Ravana, they're both on the battlefield. You have the Lord and all his devotees, you know, so it's his eternal pastimes, and you have Ravana and his demons who are in the material world, and they're all there interacting. That's his unlimited energies. Does that make sense? You know, it's not emphasized so much, but when we come to this point, then we have to be able to appreciate that the Brajabasis can be in that state beyond and see other things, but it doesn't bother them. It bothers us because when we see anything material, we want to control and enjoy it. They see anything supposedly that we call material, they don't want to control it, don't want to enjoy it. They want to engage in Krishna's service. So therefore, it's the spiritual world. So they never are not in the spiritual world. Though it may be situated here. So, yeah.
Just as internal potency has a personification as Shrimati Radharani, external potency as personification. Similarly for Tatastha Shakti, this person, or it's all unlimited jiva.
That I don't know. I've never heard that there's a... Point is who's going to control it? Yogamaya or Mahamaya. So they'll take care of it. So you don't have to worry. You know what I'm saying? Because when you say the internal potency, then that's the Hladini aspect that Radharani takes herself. She's the Swarup Shakti, so she is the complete energy. But she takes that flavor of the Hladini because it's about pleasing Krishna. Right? But now, in pleasing Krishna, you have to have, you means you're pleasing him through results of activities. Right? And then those activities have to be able to be performed in a place with the existence and the potencies of the mechanics that are applied in the activities that give the results. No? So then that means the chit and sat aspects then are dealt with, are also have to be dealt with by the Swarup Shakti. But the Swarup Shakti does that as Yogamaya. You understand? So Yogamaya takes care of those, so therefore she's known as the chit shakti. Because that's the main thing, is the chit, is the activity. But the existence of it is also there. So from the existence, then you're able to perform an activity. You have the knowledge and skill, you can perform the activity. If you have knowledge, skill, there's the environment, you exist, everything exists, then you can perform an activity. But if it doesn't exist, how do you do that? So, therefore, it appears that everything is based on the Brahman, but actually the Brahman and Paramatma are based on Krishna's Bhagavan. So by the ascending process, we put it this way, but it's not, it's the other way. You know, it's just like we'll say, well, the house is based on the foundation, but how do you define a foundation? If you tell the architect, I want to build a house, so what foundation I should use? Is he going to say anything? Yeah, this foundation. No, he's going to say, what's the house? And depending upon the house, therefore you have the foundation. So the foundation is based on the house, though we start ground up. So we're used to that way, but it actually works the other way.
The blueprint of the house and then the...
Yeah, and then... No, but his point is the house itself, that defines the foundation. So one-story house is shallow. If it's two stories, then it's more. If it's 10 stories, then it's, you know, it's really big. Is that... Yeah. So, therefore, depending upon what Krishna's pleasure is, therefore there's the activities that will create that, and then you need these situations, environments, and you know, all those things required to perform the activity. In a sense, so Yoga Maya then takes care of all that. So the jivas, since they come from the what do you call it? The chit shakti, you know, they're on the edge of that, so in other words, you can see what's on the edge. You have sat, right? So then you can either see the spiritual aspect of sat or the material aspect of sat, right? Because they're both Brahman. Right? So then being on that edge. So then if you need a personification, then that will be Yogamaya. So now it's just you want to be engaged in activity under Yogamaya or under Mahamaya, because it's one person. She just has two offices. So if we're material, then it takes on that. If she's spiritual, then it takes on the other. But one person.
And an individual's desire.
Yes.
So would you specific energy, specific function?
Specific energy, yes, specific function.
So which energy and what time will manifest depends on Lord Krishna.
Means on what needs to be done. So it's just fulfilling his desire.
Can we control that energy?
Why would we want to control that energy? It's not. We are a energy. How are we going to control the others? Oh, yeah. Does the frying pan control the oven? Yes or no? No, so then why it even comes up? We're an energy. Why would we be controlling that?
This energy can convert our mood.
Yeah, but that means it converts our mood. That means someone else is controlling it. It converts us, not that we convert it. Yeah? Okay. Okay. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments. Being raised up by Krishna, they saw their sarupas. They were completely absorbed. With Krishna as his object, Akura had gone to Brahman previously, previous to the conversation between Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Prickett. This means that Brahman is included within Krishna, being his amsha, or part. This incident shows the Lord's mercy, power, and pervasion in regards to devotees. So he's always takes care, he's pervading everywhere so he can take care of everything for the devotees, and he's always very kind to them. Krishna brought them to the lake of Brahman, the great reservoir of Brahman, Vaikuntha, having the condensed form of Brahman. This means he made them have a direct vision of this, Nitaha. They became attached to this vision, Magnaha. They were pulled out by Krishna since it was not desirable, being an obstacle to the rasa of Vrindavan pastimes. But though they were pulled out of this vision, they saw Vaikuntha full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, the source of Brahman, without transforming Brahman, because by absorption in it they saw a manifestation of Krishna alone. But because they... have already played with Krishna and saw Krishna directly, they did not find this too significant. Right? For us here, the experience of the material world, then going to these higher levels, we might be attracted. But once tasted this service to Krishna, then these other levels don't actually have any attraction. Even Akura, who caused suffering by separating them from Krishna, had seen it by jnana, adyagat, but the cowherd saw it directly with her eyes. Thus they were greater. So he saw it as knowledge of this. They actually saw it. So they had the proper realization of it, the full realization. But in that, they could see the difference between the taste in Vaikuntha and the taste in Vrindavan. Right? So thus the Brajvasis were greater. He saw it also in some place. They, however, bathed in it directly. Tetu Magnaha. Later, they were lifted out by Krishna. So he just bathed there and then saw in a specific place. But they were absorbed in it. They were actually there within it. It wasn't that it was a separate thing of seeing. They were actually within it. Their eyes showed fear without the flow of the Yamuna. At the lake of Brahman, their eyes were outside of Braja with its special rasa. Or, brought to the lake of Brahman, they say, Vaikuntha, Brahmano Lokam. Mm-hmm. They became absorbed in it. Krishna removed that vision when they lost taste for it and brought them to his place for play. Right? So then they saw it. They were amazed by it, but then they saw that it's not compared to the taste of pastimes with Krishna. And so at that point, then Krishna then brought them back to interacting with him. It's just like Arjuna. He sees a universal form, and then he's fearful, and then he sees the forearm form. You know, that's a little better, but then he's only satisfied when it comes back to the two-arm form. So at that time, then Krishna just interacts with him on that platform. So?
Like, devotees have said that when they go to Dwarka and they have darshan of Krishna over there, 400. They don't feel the same as they feel in Vrindavan. So what does it imply?
What does it imply when they go to Dwarka and see Krishna with four hands, that it doesn't have the taste of Krishna in Vrindavan? Because that's in your pastimes of Aishwarya, and Aishwarya pastimes will never have the flavor and sweetness of Vrindavan.
The same thing sadhakas can experience?
But can sadhakas experience? If you can't experience it, then why do you advance in devotional service? Why do you get attracted by Vrindavan and not other pastimes? Mm-hmm. You understand? The sadhaka is the soul. The soul can experience, but the amount they're experiencing is very small. They can't have it all, but we're talking about the difference between unlimited and even more unlimited than that. You understand? So why they can't taste?
Because
they're at the stage of that, but who's at the stage of anartha nivritti? The soul. The soul is eternal. The soul is spiritual. The soul is liberated. Already, he is liberated, but just he's thinking that I am the controller and enjoyer, so he identifies with those things that he can try to control and enjoy. But the soul is actually liberated. They're just thinking they're conditioned. So that the soul becomes liberated is actually not real. The soul just comes to understand its natural position. It's not that the soul is conditioned. No, the soul is not conditioned. He acts in a conditioned way. So therefore, we deal as if he's conditioned. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So the main point is that we have, if we develop relationship with Krishna, everything else is quite clear.
Yes.
But as long as we don't have relationship, then we have to hang our head around all those details.
Yes, but that's why we go through the details in relationship to devotees. That's why the Purana is considered superior to the Upanishads, you know, especially in this age. Because in other ages, simply by hearing these technical points, then they could appreciate and surrender to Krishna. But for us, then we see them in relationship to how devotees are understanding and applying them. So, yeah. So that's why then we see, we go through these pastimes, we become purified. Okay. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, as it is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, full knowledge means knowing Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no question of creation and annihilation in the Brahma Jyoti, or spiritual sky. The Bhagavad Gita also confirms that beyond the material sky, there is another eternal spiritual sky, where everything is eternally existing. Direct knowledge of the spiritual sky can be had only by great sages and saintly persons who have already surpassed the influence of the three modes of nature by engaging in devotional service or Krishna consciousness. Unless one is constantly situated on that transcendental platform, it is not possible to understand the spiritual nature. Right? So direct knowledge, then as you're situated there constantly, then that direct knowledge is there. Otherwise, occasionally we're there, then we get that little bit of understanding, a glimpse. So it's just a matter of, because only on devotional service, that's transcendental. Therefore, you can appreciate the transcendental position. But if we're on the material platform, we can't appreciate the transcendental position. Therefore, it is recommended that one should take to bhakti yoga and keep himself engaged 24 hours a day in Krishna consciousness, which places one beyond the reach of the modes of material nature. One in Krishna consciousness can easily understand the nature of the spiritual sky and Vaikuntha Loka. The inhabitants of Vrindavan, being always engaged in Krishna consciousness, could therefore very easily understand the transcendental nature of the Vaikuntha Lokas, because they're already absorbed in Krishna on the topmost platform. Then understanding a platform less than that is not a problem. Right? It means if we have a math professor at the university and we come to him and ask him about, you know, we're preparing these books on math for the, for grade school. Now, does he now convert into a grade school student by looking at it? No. It's just they can see the difference. Right? They can appreciate it. Yes, it's done nicely, but they work at their level. Yeah. One in Krishna consciousness can easily understand the nature of the spiritual sky, meaning Brahman, and Vaikuntha Loka. The inhabitants of Vrindavan being engaged in Krishna consciousness could therefore easily understand the transcendental nature of the Vaikuntha Lokas. Right? So the transcendental nature means the Brahman aspect of the Vaikuntha Lokas, and that they themselves, you know, are situated within them. Thus Krishna led all the cowherd men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, to the lake where Akura would later be shown the Vaikuntha planetary system. They took their bath immediately and saw the real nature of the Vaikuntha Lokas. After seeing the spiritual sky in the Vaikuntha Lokas, all the men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, felt wonderfully blissful, and upon coming out of the lake, they saw Krishna, who was being worshipped with excellent prayers. Sukadeva Goswami concluded, Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men felt the greatest happiness when they saw that transcendental abode. They were especially amazed to see Krishna himself there, surrounded by the personified Vedas who were offering him prayers. Footnote 39. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 17 to Bhagavat Arkamrita Shimala, chapter 4, entitled The Factual Truth of Krishna, Bhagavat Sarup Tattvam, which is in the Sambandha section of the Thakur's book. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, Nanda and the cowherd saw more than a crore and experienced greater bliss than a crore. Seeing the place of Krishna, which was related to them, they naturally experienced the highest bliss. They were astonished because he maintained his mood as a son, even there. So, they saw that place of Krishna as Vaikuntha, you know, but Krishna's related to them, so they saw it as related to him. They didn't see it as separate. It didn't break their relationship with him. It didn't shift. Right? It didn't shift from the sweet aspect to the Vaikuntha aspect, like we see the Dwarkavasis. Here, they're seeing it in connection with him. So it doesn't. It's not a separate thing. Like we said, the mother sees the son being the prime minister. It's just connected to her son. Her son's the prime minister. Right? That's the whole thing. It doesn't change the relationship. And they were astonished because he maintained his mood as a son even there. So even in Vaikuntha with the personified Vedas and all that, he's still maintaining the mood of he's the son of Maharaj Nanda. Yes.
This mentality of spirit, separatist mentality is there. They are able to connect everything to Krishna. That's when we see.
But separatist comes because we have an idea separate than Krishna. We have something we want to gain separate from Krishna. Even if we're doing things that are recommended, but we see the result is not necessarily being specifically for Krishna. That's separatist. Right? Does that make sense? So we're doing the duty we're supposed to do because it should be done, because it's pleasing to Krishna, whether we have that realization, but that's our mood in doing that, then that's considered the proper situation. You understand?
First we need to connect to the result should be offered to Lord. With the
yes, that's where we start, with the result. Then the other details, as we can deal with them, we can do. But the point is whether we know a ton about all the Sambandha or Abhideya and all these different things, if we see the result is to please Krishna, we get the effect. Then, as we develop, then we can start to see the activities, how that connects to Krishna, how the knowledge, the skill, how that connects to Krishna. Because otherwise, sometimes we see, I'm doing this thing. And when I'm doing the thing, just the knowledge and skill itself is what's applied. And so, I'm not necessarily at that point worrying if it pleases Krishna or not. I'm just getting the result. And then when I get the result, I give it to Krishna. But as one advances more, one can, in performing the activity, using the knowledge and skill, I can see what would be the most pleasing way to use that to Krishna. Because always we're having options. So which options would be better for Krishna? Rather than just what gets the work done best. So that's the difference. Renunciation means I'm doing the work, then I give the result to Krishna. Sannyas means it's for the whole process is for Krishna. Not only the result, the action is for Krishna, the knowledge and skills, the identity, everything's for Krishna. Right? So we learn about all that, but we focus first on the results for Krishna. And then as we can add the others, we perform all of them, but our understanding, we can catch the result first, because we're very result-oriented. You do something because of the result it gets. Now, I'm doing this to get the result, so if the result's for Krishna, then automatically I'm Krishna conscious. But the process to get that result, this, that, I may not be, but if I give the result, then the whole thing becomes connected. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
So Krishna, being Akila Rasamrita Murti, he's the source of all rasa. He reciprocates with everybody, but us, we can see him according to our own personal relationship.
Yes.
And not beyond that.
Not beyond, and he'll reciprocate how we see him.
Yeah.
You know, so the rich guy just sees him as money, so he reciprocates with him just as money. You can't see beyond that. You know, someone else sees the money, sees relationships, you know, or the social position, so he reciprocates accordingly. Right? But when we start to see him, you know, go beyond the material, you know, beyond the Hiranyagarbha aspect, we see him as Paramatma, how he's there, then we see him, okay, he's controlling all this, so we see him in that capacity. But when we see him that he's a person who he has his own interest of relating with the devotees based on affection and reciprocating that affection, then we can start to see that. So that's why it's important when one's discussing Krishna consciousness that aspect is brought out. Otherwise, people are only exposed to the other things. They're all parts of Krishna consciousness, but when you're dealing with Krishna's Bhagavan and pleasing him as a person, that's bhakti. Because you can deal with Paramatma or Brahman and not have bhakti. Though, as devotees, it is included. Because Bhagavan includes Brahman and Paramatma. But Brahman and Paramatma, and in the ascending process, you can see them without seeing Bhagavan. Right? And so then within Bhagavan, as sadhakas, then we see up to the level that we understand. But as we progress and we associate with these eternal associates by hearing and chanting, then we slowly start to develop that appreciation and Krishna reveals. Then we can go deeper.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi ki.